Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's trending?
Number one on what's trending, the Royals do begin a series tonight in LA against the Angels at 8:38. First pitch here on 96.5 The Fan. Vern's on deck show at 7:30. Vern will be going with the caffeine tonight or whatever it is he needs.
You know what?
Cole Reagan's on the mound, by the way.
You can take it as a positive. It is September 23rd, and the Royals are not yet eliminated from playoff contention. They can, however,
That's
be
true.
Eliminated tonight.
Uh-huh.
The Royals have to finish 6-0. The Rangers have to finish 5-1. And two other teams have to be winless for the rest
That's
of the
it.
Year.
That's it.
But if all those things happen, dude, I'll tell you right now, if we get within two games of it and it's still alive, then we'll really be talking about it. Next up on What's Trending, if the New York Giants have decided to make a change at quarterback, Jackson Dart will start Sunday against the Chargers, according to multiple reports. Honestly, I'd rather Dart try to beat the Chargers than Russell Wilson at this point. I didn't think either Giants squad was. That's also why this game is so important for Kansas City. Chargers have the Giants. Their schedule's not overly difficult this year, but Jackson Dart will be the quarterback on the other side this time.
Next on What's Trending News, just coming out in the last 5 minutes or so, Oklahoma State has fired their football coach, Mike Gundy. Mm-hmm. The Gundy era has reportedly come to an end. Pete Thamel reporting that. Yeah, 21 seasons, a buck 70 and 90 was his record. 11 of his team spent at least 1 week in the top 10 of the AP poll, including a number two ranking back in 2011. Six of his teams finished top 10 nationally for scoring offense, but it was more than time. For
some good
Mike
jobs
Gundy.
Open in college football. Oklahoma State and Virginia Tech already?
Yeah, and 18 years and one day ago, this was Mike Gundy.
And then you want to write articles about guys that don't do things right and downgrade them, the ones that do make plays. Are you kidding me? Where are we at in society today? Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40! I'm not a kid! Write something about me.
And now he's 58 years old.
All time, Grant. Oh yeah.
Race. It's one of those we'll always remember. It's something everybody knows
right
exactly.
Right about me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
Uh-huh.
Anytime so anyone has turned 40 inside
of
my friend
group, I'm a man. I'm 40.
It's immediately the first thing anybody says. Mm-hmm. Like when you turn 40 gold, 90 of your friends will send you that exact thing.
And he is now fired.
Yeah. Next up on Watch Ring, speaking of firing, the Falcons have fired their wide receiver coach, Ike Hilliard. They have allowed T.Y. Hilton. Who am I thinking of? I don't remember. Their quarterback's coach is going to take over the wide receiver duties. Their offensive coordinator is also going to move from the boot to the sideline. And Brian Callahan for the Titans is giving up play calling duties. Quarterback coach Bo Hardigree.
Steps towards getting fired.
Quarterback coach Bo Hardigree will take over. The last time he called plays is when he took over for a fire John Gruden in Las Vegas.
Yeah, Callahan will get fired at the end of the year.
And then they'll bring in a new offense and a new offensive coordinator. I don't mean to beat this, but this is insane. The way people have been handling quarterback, it's stupid.
You're saying the Titans should go hire Mario Cristobal because he coached Cam Ward before?
I'm saying they should have fired Brian Callahan before the season started and got him his Ben Johnson and not messed around. Just found a good offensive coach to start him with.
Yep. Lastly on What's Trending, Mike Evans. Expect to be out 2 to 3 weeks with a hamstring injury. Not as severe as the one he had last year where he was out over a month. But something to keep an eye on for a Bucs team that is 3-0 with three wins in the final minute of their games atop the NFC South. That is what's trending. Yeah, Mike Gundy, he's obviously famous for the rant. He's also, of course, become controversial over the last couple of years and everything. frankly, they've underachieved the last couple of years.
Yeah,
there were people that wanted him fired a year or so ago. But Oklahoma State, that's a big-time job,
mm-hmm.
no question. And it'll be interesting to see what direction they have. They also have a ton of money. Like, it's not a program that's lacking funds. I understand that T. Boone Pickens has since passed away. But they've got quite the alumni base there still around Oklahoma State there in Stillwater, Oklahoma.
Got to find some other rich guy to buy up all your stuff. I'm sure whatever relative of his who got all his cash probably also still donates to the university. I mean, look, very few coaches get a 20-year run at a university. That's a hell of an accomplishment. That means you have to do a lot of winning at Oklahoma State.
Yeah,
especially being an alum, it makes it always harder to lay him off. And, you know, to get rid of a guy that is technically one of your own. But yeah, I agree. It was time. I think that job now. I know Virginia Tech's got a lot of great history, obviously, with the Beamer family, of course, being involved there. But I think Oklahoma State, out of the three that are open now in UCLA, VTech, and now Oklahoma State's the best one.
Do you think Gundy coaches again? He's 58. He's been there for 20 years. He obviously doesn't need the money, right? He's made plenty of money in his coaching career.
He had chances to leave Oklahoma State multiple times and didn't take him.
I could see him coaching again, yes.
Like a non-Power 5? Or do you think a lower-level SEC team would consider him anymore? He's been good the last year or two.
I think lower-level SEC would consider him, but given how they've kind of fallen off since they made that Big 12 title game a few years ago.
3-9 last year. 1-2 this year.
But if I'm UCLA, I mean, I can do a lot worse than Mike Gundy.
Wow, UCLA is a mess.
They have no resources. That job, that might be one of the worst jobs in the country, period. Forget Power 5. That
but,
might
I mean,
be one
if,
of the worst
if I'm
jobs,
UCLA,
period.
He's probably the first person I call.
He's saying they don't have the money to pay for.
Yeah.
I don't know if Gundy would want to go there either. UCLA can call, but if I'm Gundy, I know I just got laid off, but I don't know if I want to be there.
The question will be, do we see...
That's why Deshaun Foster was the coach and nobody else.
Do we see Mike Gundy on College Game Day or Big Noon Kickoff?
Probably.
Here very
he's
soon.
A character.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
He's
got the personality.
I think he'd be good for TV.
Now, you know, he'll say whatever is on his mind. Like, will they give him that freedom, right? Like, he'll be controversial, but do those networks want to go to that extreme or not? Because he's had some rants that obviously have gotten people's attention. And I'm not just talking about the I'm a man, I'm 40. There's obviously been other stuff that people have been fired up about over the
Any
years.
Any chance he comes back in 10 years, like Rich Rod randomly showed back up into college football?
Oh, back to Oklahoma State? No.
Didn't Rich Rod end up back in West Virginia or whatever?
This is over.
That was weird.
He's there.
Weird after all those years, after going to Michigan, after bouncing around.
Yeah, but he didn't get fired at West Virginia.
That's true. He took a job somewhere else.
he failed somewhere else. He never failed there. So it's like, it's all fair good. Enough. If you can come back if you didn't fail where you were already at.
I could absolutely see him having a bit of a Butch Jones trajectory, because Butch Jones now is the coach at Arkansas State after his time in Tennessee.
Butch Jones.
Took some time off. He's now at Arkansas State. I could see Gundy in the Sun Belt. I think I could see it.
I'll just be honest.
He's going to coach like Louisiana Tech or the Raging Cajuns or something like that. UL Monroe.
Some of this is just like a personality difference between me and a different person or me and other people, whatever it is. If I were 58 years old and I had made all this money in my life, if it's coaching the Sun Belt or never coach again, I'm never coaching again. I'm out.
And if he loves what he
done.
Does. If he misses
rather,
it, that's almost, all they've done for 20
years.
I'd
almost
years,
rather just like try to find like my high school, like if I had a kid in high school and coach their high school than that.
Mike Gundy
I'd rather coach wide
football.
Receivers coach at high school for my son than end up in the Sun Belt coaching football. I'd just take my millions of dollars and retire.
I don't know
if his kids are in high school.
Didn't his son play for him at Oklahoma State in the last couple years?
I think so. And in fairness to the Sun Belt, they might have a team that's in the playoff this year, for all we know. James Madison. JMU.
I know. I'm just saying. That's not where I want my coaching career anymore.
I get it.
You a James Madison guy?
Not particularly, but the Dukes are very good.
We will get to all 32 in about 8 minutes or so. But let's talk about last night a little bit, because those two teams, the Lions and the Ravens, of course, the Chiefs are going to play over the next month. Ravens this Sunday, Lions in a few weeks after that Jags game. And so we got a little glimpse of them. First of all, the Lions, their offense... The worry after week one, no. The Lions offense, just fine. Once again, I mean, Jared Goff played great. The entire offensive attack was so impressive last night against Baltimore. Now, that's who I want to talk about first, because that's who the Chiefs are playing on Sunday. Let's worry about them. We'll see the Lions in a couple weeks and how they're playing. That Ravens defense, fortunately, is a problem for them, because they've given up the most points along with the Dolphins in football this year. 97 of them. Their offense looks great. Lamar's playing great. Derrick Henry's got a fumbling problem all of a sudden, but the offense looks great. They got Mark Andrews back involved. Zay Flowers was shut out last night, yet they still were able to move the move the football. So I think offensively, the Ravens look great. And that's why the national narrative about them is not nearly as bleak, seemingly, as for the Chiefs. We know the Chiefs offense is a mess. We've gone through this.
It's funny, but they both have one massive glaring problem.
Their defense, the Chiefs defense, has been very good since the Chargers game. The Ravens defense stinks. Their offense is awesome. And yet the Ravens are the same record. And it's like, oh, they'll be fine. The Chiefs, meanwhile, nationally, it's like, oh, they're in big trouble. They're in big trouble.
That's just the way, I think it's just because of the way you see it. It's easy to just be like, well, they'll figure out a way to get a stop. Cincinnati didn't last year. Like, if you have a genuinely awful defense, it could be a long time and a tough haul in the old NFL season if you're unable to do it. The difference is the Baltimore's had the number one offense, I think, in the NFL, or the number, I think it's the number one, 37 points per game offense in the NFL. The Chiefs' defense has been very good, but they still had a game in which they struggled against the Chargers, so they only have the ninth best scoring defense or whatever in the NFL. So, like, maybe that's viewing it a little bit different. I think these teams are in the exact same spot. And I can't believe these two teams are in the exact same spot. These were what I would have considered two of the top four Super Bowl contenders in the entire NFL coming into the year. One of them, most likely, barring some tie, which seems very unlikely, one of them, Gold, is going to be 1-3. The thing I will say is, I think, and we can talk more about Worthy tomorrow, without Worthy, I don't think that this team is in a position to take advantage of the Ravens' bad defense. I mean, I understand. Like,
I agree. I think it's going to be a lower scoring game.
They're going to have to. I think they're going to have to win via defense. I don't think they're just going to be able to be like, you know what? Let's just take advantage of this horrible Ravens defense, and we're going to throw it up and down the field. Not with the current pieces you have available to you.
No, but it is the worst defense they have faced this year. I mean, just a fact.
Well, they face the Chargers, who currently have the number four ranked defense at 16.7 points per game. Who else have they faced?
Eagles.
Eagles are middle of the road, 15th ranked Giants. Defense in game. Now, the Giants' defense is not very good.
Well, that's what that Cowboys
game. And that Cowboys game is certainly skewing theirs in a very bad direction. Even with that, they're only 24th. So they're bottom 10, but yes, this is the worst defense. They give up, Baltimore gives up the second most points per game in the NFL. Miami gives up 32.3. Baltimore gives up 30. That can't be right. They give up the same number of points. Whatever. This thing's just wrong.
Okay.
It's fine. The thing I'm looking at is wrong. They've given up the identical number of points. They have the worst defense.
Yeah, I'm with you that I don't, just because the Ravens defense is bad does not mean I think the Chiefs are suddenly going to unlock everything. But I will say the notion, though, that like, oh, we watched the Ravens offense last night and the Chiefs are going to get destroyed. I firmly disagree. I don't know if the Chiefs are going to win on Sunday or not. I don't think they're getting destroyed. I don't think either team is destroying the other. They're, as you said, one side of the ball for each is a problem. One side of the ball has been a strength for them. We also know that these teams know each other very well. Two coaches know each other very well.
And he's 5-1. Everybody will be 5-1 career against them.
I think that's right. Lamar's only won one time. Yeah. And they're like, both teams will be up for this game. The magnitude of it is massive. Arrowhead will be rocking, all of that. I'm not worried about this game getting out of hand. I'm worried, of course, that if the Chiefs were to get down, though, do they have the offense to get back? Like, if the Ravens went down the field on their opening drive and get 7, admittedly, I would be concerned at that point, only because this offense right now has not shown their ability to truly put multiple scoring drives together. The Chiefs offense, that is.
Touchdown drives, specifically. You know,
they did it against the Chargers. They had 5. At the end of that game, they did score on 5 straight possessions. They weren't 5 touchdowns, but they scored on 5 straight possessions. But that's not a battle you want to get in. And it's weird that Lamar Jackson got sacked 7 times last night.
That's not likely to happen on Sunday.
No, that's only the second time, I think, in his career it's happened. So it's definitely not likely. But was there something the Lions did in particular? Was it an issue that the Ravens just have on their offensive line? Spags will have some sort of play, some sort of a game plan, I should say. But the Ravens will probably play better, cleaner football, I guess is what I'm saying, on Sunday. Derrick Henry, is he going to fumble for a 4th straight game?
Probably not. Go ahead, Drew.
I don't have the numbers in front of me. How many times did the Browns sack him? Because the Browns, obviously, with that defensive front. Like,
I'd have to go look.
I don't know if we can look.
Because if he was sacked like 4 or 5 times, then all of a sudden, maybe that actually is a concern, is the offensive line for the Ravens too?
I think it is, and I think it is for the Chargers and some other teams too. The problem, like, coming out of this game, and honestly, it does not matter who wins or loses. It does not matter the style in which they win or lose.
3 sacks against him. The Browns did.
A little bit. I mean, 3 sacks, not a small amount in an NFL game.
And he's Miles Garrett had a sack, 1.5 of them.
He's now been sacked 12 times on the season, which is a lot for 3 games, even if you know that 7 is in a single game. So 4 sacks per game is a lot. But the truth is that no matter who wins or loses, doesn't matter if it's 19, 18, or 34-33, the clear narrative is the team who wins is back to being a real Super Bowl contender and deserves to be amongst the conversation of the teams in the AFC who have a real chance to go to the Super Bowl. The loser of this is out of that conversation until they prove that they deserve to be back in it. Not saying they can never re-enter it, but they're going to have to work hard to re-enter that conversation versus just back in it for the winner.
It's a narrative shifter on Sunday. No question. There's multiple paths that you can take throughout a season, and depending on the result on Sunday, it sends you down a completely different path, good or bad, as you were laying out for each one of these teams. That's what makes it such a big contest on Sunday. I agree with this text, 913-586-7965. Someone says maybe the reason why the national narrative is that it's way bleaker for the Chiefs than the Ravens is that the Ravens are in AFC North right now where nobody, you know, they don't have a 3-0 Chargers team in the AFC North.
That right team now it's a 2-1 team without a starting quarterback and a 2-1 right. Steelers team.
I get that, where you're saying, hey, could the Ravens end up winning the AFC North with 10 wins? Actually, the way things are trending, yes, maybe. The Chiefs aren't winning the AFC West with 10 wins. You know what I'm saying? So that's probably part of the narrative, and it makes sense. The Ravens, honestly, 10 wins might win that division this year. The AFC West, it's not taking 10. It's not taking 11. It's probably going to take 12 or 13 at least.
Yeah, that's probably the number. And I honestly think at this point, 10 or 11 for the North. Like, it can't be the Ravens are already a little behind it. So, like, getting to that number is going to be a challenge. It's almost impossible when you get to 1-3. Then it, not impossible, it becomes very hard to win 12 games, 11 games. Steelers are so average. They'll win because they're a well-coached team and they'll find a way to win. And the Bengals are 2-1, but they don't have their starting quarterback.
Yeah.
They just got run out of the building. And their next four games are not easy. And so, like, they could easily find themselves buried down at the bottom of the division here very soon.
Don't forget, on Tuesdays, our lunch partner, our friends over at Pearl Tavern in Lee Summit, you can reel in a deal every Tuesday over there. $2.50 fish and shrimp tacos, $5 house margaritas made with premium Jose Cuervo silver, part of the Summit Restaurant Hospitality Group here on Cody and Golds. We appreciate their support of the show as always on Tuesday. Great spot. I know, Cody, you've been there a couple of times as well.
Love it.
We appreciate their support of the show. All right, let's get to it. All 32. Look, I am a Caleb Williams believer. You know, I have backed him up. Hold on. I'm a believer. I've been supportive of him.
Is there a big but?
Yes, because people have criticized this guy since he was drafted for a variety of reasons, mainly not even football reasons, which is weird, but whatever.
But he paints his nails or whatever.
Basically, for I guess that people so get stupid. People get triggered by that kind of stuff.
Anyway, ridiculous.
But my point is, so yes, I am a Caleb Williams believer. However, can we pump the brakes on what just happened on Sunday? What he did was impressive, but he also did it against the Dallas Cowboys defense, who are technically not the worst defense in football. That's the Ravens 32nd, but the Cowboys are a worse defense when the dust settles. The Cowboys cannot stop anybody. Caleb Williams was 19 of 28, 298, four touchdowns, had a 65-yard touchdown pass to your guy, Luther Burden.
Hey.
All right, the third. It was very impressive, but let's see if he can replicate to a certain extent for another week or two. Maybe is a game we look back on and say, that's when it all clicked. Maybe that's what it is. And I'm a believer that it will click eventually, but we also don't need to act like that, like, oh my gosh, he's now just totally good to go. The Cowboys stink.
He unlocked it. Danny Parkins, our former co-worker here at, I guess it was 610, but now 96.5, the fan. I think the reason why Chicago fans are having a hard time saying is what he said, which is that might be the single best game a quarterback has ever played in a Bears uniform. And when you start looking at it that way, it's really hard not to just get excited about it randomly. Yeah. But yeah, I absolutely get it. I'm going to head to New York, and I know that normally I would stand with the people that I think, hey, stand behind a winner. And this team is 0-3. Is it weird that the Jets are both 0-3, but I've been pleasantly surprised for the Jets at the job Aaron Glenn has done?
That's not how Jets fans are reacting today.
He's established an identity. Really? He seems to have control of what he's doing. He's stuck with Justin Fields.
I agree.
They're in every game. They fight a lot harder than they used to. They're not a pushover. He seems to kind of got that, like, Dan Campbell energy to him in the sense that, like, he's going to drive everyone towards him. You don't just flip over a program in a single year. I actually kind of think Aaron Glenn's doing a pretty good job so far. I know he's 0-3, but I kind of like the job. He's, you said Jets fans hate him?
Well, I'm just basing this off of Jets fans, their reaction to some. They think he's 2-0 in the moral victory right now, but as you said, it takes time to build this thing back up. So some of them are annoyed by the moral victory aspect. They're still an 0-3 team. However, I'm with you on Aaron Glenn in terms of having control of the organization. Clearly, there's no doubt on who is in charge. He's holding players accountable. Right after week one, he held a player accountable that made a mistake. They cut a guy, I think it was, on a punt return or kick return, whatever it was. So I think, yeah, he's a good fit. But if you're asking how some Jets fans are feeling, they're not happy with a little bit of this moral victory attitude. But you're the Jets.
If they won, they're
the Jets.
So
what do you expect right now?
Maybe they like being miserable more. Like, instead of thinking of good things that came out of it, let's just think about all the bad things that happened and that they lost again.
Had they
like
won, they would have had so much more fun with those music edits of him dancing
so
on the sidelines.
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Because those were fun. Yeah. And it's not just because I just think he's established. I don't think the Jets have had an identity in a really long time. Yeah. And they at least have an identity. I'm not saying all of the pieces are in place yet, but it feels like they're heading somewhere.
So I'm staying in New York. I'm going to go to the other side of things, though, to the NFC side and the Giants. Nothing to do with Jackson Dart, although he wasn't mentioned to be the starter. But to your point, Cody, which you've mentioned several times on the show before, new quarterback, coach, of course. Brian Daboll probably was going to be gone anyways after this year. Why not just do it now? I'd move on now. Mike Kafka.
Because they didn't do it in the offseason.
But Mike Kafka is the play caller. I think this I think you just start to build this relationship already. See if it works out. And if it doesn't, then Mike Kafka is not the guy at the end. But if it does work out, then that relationship is already starting ahead of just next season if they just want to promote him from within. I'd move on from Brian Daboll right now because it's not going to get any better.
So, look, Brian Daboll will not be the head coach after this season. I'm with you, and I think we're all in agreement they should have just, cleaned house this past offseason. That's why I don't think it makes sense to fire him now, though, because, you didn't fire him in the offseason. Now you're going to fire him 3 weeks into the season. You're talking like Mike Kafka. You think he's going to be the next head coach of the Giants.
Why would you waste your time with somebody who you know is not going to be the coach next year?
I agree, but this is also the same organization that didn't fire him in the offseason.
Sure, but I'm not saying Kafka's the guy, but why not let somebody else try to build up the rapport with the guy at quarterback who's going to be the foreseeable future instead of the guy that's going to get canned in 4 months?
I'll give you a slight stance on a goal that maybe makes you come around on it, which is view it like the way you thought about Alex Zumwalt with Jack Caglione. More than anything, it's not about finding the guy who might be with him next year. It's not letting Brian Daboll anywhere near him. I don't want Brian Daboll.
We see what David Jones does without Brian Daboll.
I don't want Brian Daboll anywhere near that man.
Alex
Zumwalt
was the hitting coach. This hypothetical would involve Matt Quatrero. Alex Zumwalt's the hitting coach. Brian Dable's the head coach. You guys are wanting him gone 3 weeks in. He should have been gone in the offseason. We're all in agreement here. Yeah. I don't think he's great at all. But if they didn't fire him 6 months ago in the offseason, or 4 months ago in the offseason, they're not firing him 3 weeks into this season when they're now making the transition to a young quarterback. So you're gonna move on to the young quarterback in the same week that you give Jackson Dart the first start. You want to then fire his head coach?
Yes.
That's also not a smart decision either. No, that's too much. That's too many changes at once for the rookie. You're putting him in a terrible spot.
It's
at
crazy
that point in
because
time.
They've already put him in a bad spot, and maybe he'll just overcome it. Certainly, he can.
Brian Daboll will get fired. Don't worry.
Who's calling plays right now for the Giants?
Daboll. He's always called plays, hasn't he?
Kafka was not the play caller.
Mm-mm. I thought it was always Brian Daboll was calling plays. He called him in Buffalo for Sean McDermott. So
all I'm saying is that we've seen what Daniel Jones has done in 3 weeks.
It's just so crazy.
Here we go. This season, here we go. So last year he was not.
Oh, okay.
Here we go. This is an article from a week and a half ago. This year, Mike Kafka has been the Giants play caller.
That gives me more reason to fire Brian Daboll. Oh. What is he doing? What is Brian Daboll useful for then? In terms of the relationship,
well, nobody's
Jackson
disagreeing.
Dart.
He is useless.
We're not arguing that.
It's just
him not calling plays. I think is actually more reason to get rid of him now.
It's just, is it already the worst version of the thing I already said I don't like, which is you get a new coach, you fire him, you give him a new offensive coordinator, new coach, but now I got to make him do it twice. I got to make him do it in the middle of this season and then again in the offseason because the chances they just allow Kafka to keep the job seem low.
Probably very slim.
Honestly, I kind of hope the Chiefs bring back Kafka in some kind of capacity.
Yeah, I'm with you.
At the end of this season, as much as I don't want the same voices, I liked Kafka's voice before.
All right, let's talk more about the offenses across the National Football League. Does this particular number matter? Is it because of a new rule change? We'll get to that and the random question of the day right here.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Cody and Gold.
Now you just have to dance like Aaron Glenn, guys. Just time it up right.
The video is very good. Jets head coach Aaron Glenn. Coming up in 25 minutes, Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from ESPN, is going to join us. He was in the Meadowlands watching the Chiefs-Giants game. We'll get his perspective, final thoughts on that one, and then start turning our attention a little bit to the rest of the week, what he expects to maybe see differently. Does he think Breshard Smith could play more? What does he make of the offensive line play? And obviously, was he surprised Xavier Worthy did not play? And now what does he think will be the case for this Sunday? Someone on the text line, the Jays Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965, asked the question, did you guys go 5-0? Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
We are quite the roller coaster. Circa millions. People making
Circa
picks.
Millions. We went 5-0. Yes, we were trying to go 5-0.
And four were zero sweat.
Yeah.
Easy
Cody,
wins.
Dusty, Speck, Rob, Bink, myself. Yeah, five picks. The last one we needed last night was Detroit to cover the 4.5. They won outright, so no sweat really with that. And yeah, we had KC -6. First half was a sweat. After that, it wasn't. We had Carolina getting 5.5 points. They won outright.
They won 30-0.
The only sweat was Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah. That was a little bit of one.
That was the only sweat.
Other than that, no real problem.
So it's good. It felt good. You know, it makes the 0-5 week really upset me even more from week one.
Yeah, because if we had just gone 3-2 in that week, we'd be like, you know what?
Yeah.
Are we?
But that means
competing for the title right now. No, are we a laughingstock? Also,
wait, no. Someone asking. Yeah, the quarterly prize is definitely done. So we have to move on to next quarter. And now we're season long. You know, now we keep winning so we can get some season long entry. Let's
have another 5-0 week next week.
I haven't seen the update. I was trying to see how many entries went. Any go 0-15?
How many do you think went 5-0 this week? One of 150 or
probably 300 or 400 people. Oh, here we go. I have our answer. Oh, wait, that's Circus Survivor. Hold on. Oh, no, here we go. All right. So there's somebody right now that's 14-1 on the year. That's first place. My goodness. There's two teams that are 13-2 or two entries. 26 entries are tied at 12-3. 93 are 11-4. 259 are 10-5. 571 or 9-6, and then we're with 913 entries at 8-7. 1,100 entries are 7-8. Another 1,100 entries are 6-9. 824 are 5-10. 436 are 4-11. 176 are 3-12. 35 are 2-13. And there are two people tied at 1-14 for the last place booby prize. They will be
25 grand on the line next week for them.
Basically, the two that are 1-14 and the 35 that are 2-13, those are the ones that have a shot.
Yeah,
at getting the 25K this quarter.
That must be nice.
But we're in the wash, but not in the wait. We're still in the top half now.
And we're back to picking winners.
We're in the top half.
You guys are like Kenny Pickett's Pittsburgh Steelers. Yeah. You guys are 9-8. You know?
We're in the top half.
You are.
You know? Mm-hmm.
You're Jeff Fisher.
Yeah. Considering we started 0-5, honestly, the fact that we're in the top half is actually kind of impressive.
One of the few teams to go 5-0, I would be excited for this next quarter.
If you're wondering, their Survivor contest, 3,100 people, 3,154 got eliminated from Survivor this week. That means there's 13,811 entries left in the Circa Survivor contest. Last week, Packers, obviously, Falcons were the two biggest that got eliminated. And for those that were doing that big Grandissimo contest we were talking about when we were out in Vegas, where it was a $100,000 entry, there was 10 people got eliminated this
Packers
week.
Got
eight
them.
From the Packers, two had the Falcons, 58 of the original 69, I think.
If you had the Falcons, left. You just made your own bed. They stunk.
I agree.
You lost
the Packers
money.
One, you were thinking you
they
were going to.
They blocked a kick. You had it.
Wow. Six people had the Bucs. They almost lost that one off that Jets blocked field goal, too. Anyway, just a little update. Yes, we're happy that we went 5-0.
Makes me feel like I'm not a total idiot in the way that I take NFL games. Yeah. That first week made me be like, we're sports talk radio people. Yeah. Are we bad at it?
Sports betting is difficult, but we're not 0-5 bad. Come on now. Now watch this
Someone
go 0-5
said you guys are like
week.
The Bengals. We're not going suck early on, you know.
Most weeks you're going to go 3-2 or 2-3. That's just right. How like it works.
Sports Talk on 96.5 The Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. Sylvester Stallone is back in the original hit series Tulsa King. This season, Dwight faces his most dangerous adversaries yet, forcing him to fight for everything he's built and to protect his empire. Watch the new season of Tulsa King, now streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus. A new season just started like 2 days ago, I believe. So let's talk a little Chiefs and the offense as it maybe ties into the rest of the league. And I don't know if this is going to make you feel any different about what's going on with the Chiefs, but the NFL offenses right now are averaging 317.9 yards per game. This is from Steve Palazzolo. That's actually the lowest total since 05. And it's the third lowest total this century. So this is rare stuff that's happening. We're trying to figure out, what does it mean? Now, yards per game, not nearly the same category as points per game that everybody focuses
on. But it still matters.
It still matters. For it to be the third lowest total, that's pretty interesting. We were thinking initially, is this just the kickoff rules? But then we looked up average starting field position, and it's actually not much different than a year ago with the new kickoff rule. So what is this? What do you think? Our offenses, because
we're in a run where defenses have been better. Defenses were better last year.
It's early
They're
in the year.
They're better this
too.
Year.
It's early in the year.
It's early in the year, and I think so there are a couple, right? Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, those teams are still putting up points. The Detroit Lions, those teams are still putting up points. But that middle of the road teams, the Baker Mayfields, even like middle of the road offenses, like the Chiefs are right now, some of the quarterbacks you would expect to put up a ton of points are simply not doing that right now. And I think that is a part of it. I think we're just we talk about this all the time, in waves. I think we're going to run in the NFL where defenses are winning. That no matter what we're doing offensively, something is caught up. And the adjustment, I think, 2-3 years ago, the defenses made on the Chiefs, where they just decided, we're going to give up way less big stuff and we'll make you nickel and dime us to death until we do it, has stuck a little bit. And as a result of it, these offenses still haven't fully figured out how to take advantage of it on a per game basis or on a consistent basis. And so like, that's what I think is actively hurting offenses. But in a weird way, seeing that stat gold made me just realize, okay. And Steve Smith kind of said this at 11 o'clock too. The thing that is hard to watch about the Chiefs offense is not that they are the worst offense in the league and the worst offense we've ever seen. And it's abysmal and it's hateful. You know what it is? This is what most teams in the NFL look like. This, what you're watching in the Chiefs gold is not the worst offense in the NFL. It is an average NFL offense. And that disgusts me in a lot of ways that you all just
watch. Used to them being
you
one
all
of the
just watch football like this every week, but this is not like the world's worst offense.
No, but we also have watched for years. We know what a championship caliber team looks like. And that's not what they look like as it sits on September 23rd. Can they get there? Sure. It's early. It's week three, now week four of the season. You're right. This is what most football looks like in the NFL. But for the last 7 years, the Chiefs have been a top two or three team, if not the best team in football. And so that's how this whole thing plays out each and every year. Right now, they don't. We know what championship caliber football looks like in Kansas City, and we know we're not watching it.
No, even last year in which we knew that things were kind of mediocre. The other part, I don't know. It's just so weird. They're playing about the same as they were for a chunk of the middle of the year where I'm like, average football, below average offense, great defense, but they were winning. If they were 2-1 instead of 1-2, the tenor of this conversation is so much different. And honestly, if they're 2-2 after this week and they beat the Ravens and then they go and they beat the Jags and they're 3-2, and I'm like, you know what? I want them to beat the Lions. It'd be nice if they beat the Lions, but it's not a must win. That's why this game is so different. If they lose to Baltimore, the next two games are must-win games before Rashee Rice gets back. They have to beat the Jags, and they have to beat Detroit. And they don't have a choice. They have to win those games in order to, I think, keep the division alive. Maybe not the playoffs. The Chiefs could probably find some way to scratch their way back into a playoff spot. The bottom of the AFC is not exactly loaded at this point, and it's full of some teams that I would think the Chiefs could certainly get by. But in order to still think you're winning the AFC West, I don't think you could... Mm-hmm. Not and the Giants not upset the Chargers. The dream scenario is the Giants just do what the Browns did and shock the world.
Well,
and
yeah.
Somehow they upset them and it's 3-1. And all of a sudden you're two games back and you have a game or a game back and you still have a game against the Chargers on the schedule. So you're not any worse or better than you were before. But this, I view this as a positive for the Chiefs. I'm glad offense is down. If your offense isn't going to look very good, I hope it's in a year where no one's offense looks good, I'll be honest. Because at the very least, I know the Chiefs can play defense. They've proven two games is enough for me. Plus, I don't know, every other year Spags has coached this defense. Gold, I think some people are still more hesitant than you now. You realize that, right? Because they remember that Chargers game over on Twitch. Micah was pointing out that Isaiah Lake likely might come back this week. And, they did a really bad job against him in week one last year. Does that concern? I'm like, no, I think the Chiefs know how to play defense. They'll keep the game close-ish. I don't think they're going to run out of the building by the Ravens offense. I think they'll hold them down enough. No, Chiefs will have to get in the 20s. They're not beating the Ravens 17-14.
I would be pretty surprised if that was the way this game played out. But yeah, the way the league is playing right now, I mean, there's been some prizes across it. You know, what ends up being real as we get a month or two in, you know, the Colts, of course, are the story of the NFL so far this year, them and the Chargers. The Colts are more surprising than even the Chargers, but the Chargers look like a team, if they keep playing like this, that will be a legit contender, believe it or not, for the Super Bowl. I know it sounds crazy, Chargers Super Bowl, but they will be, if they play like this, a contender for that.
I like
if
how you're
they
not even willing to put them. Yeah, because they do have to.
Whereas the Colts, they're a surprise and they might win their division. I don't know if they'll get to a point where anybody can take them seriously as a contender because Daniel Jones is still their quarterback. It's the same thing with the Vikings last year. Sam Darnold was awesome for Minnesota. Did anybody think Sam Darnold was taking the Vikings to the Super Bowl? Absolutely not. And what do? They lost right away in the playoffs.
Yep.
And he was abysmal. I could see the same thing happening for Daniel Jones. Great year, but nobody's going to think they can win a Super Bowl. The Chargers, we'll see. Right now, I don't think they're capable with Justin Herbert to win a Super Bowl. But let's see if they continue to play at this level for another month. If the Chargers are somehow start 9-1 or something crazy, you know what I mean? If they're 9-1, then you will have to start considering them a legitimate contender for the Super Bowl. I'm not there yet. But they, to me, out of the 3-0 teams, I know we'll talk about this more tomorrow. Of the 3-0 teams, you can make the case of the most impressive.
Yeah, I think so far, Eagle, based on the consistency.
Obviously, the Eagles comeback would put them out.
Three division wins.
Impressive is different than, I'm more impressed with the Chargers because they've got three division wins. The Eagles are a better football team than the Chargers right now.
Someone trying to give credit to Drew over in the text line from the 816. Drew said they'd be 3-3. You laughed.
No, he said they'd be 5-5.
He did say 5-5, and I'd like to point out that Drew said that before Xavier Worthy got hurt. So I mean, it is partially true.
I said they'd be
also
3-3 through 6 and 5-5, and then they'd win the rest of the game.
I offered you a bet, 5-5, and you refused to take it.
You should have taken that bet now. You might have been in good shape.
Yeah, of course. You did, just the same as I should have taken Kansas State's under.
I'm just saying.
Drew's not way off of what they have been. He also thought they'd have Xavier Worthy.
I did think they would have that wasn't pre Xavier Worthy injury.
Would have probably been a lot closer. My point is not your prediction. Is I'd have been a lot closer to agreeing with you if I knew Xavier Worthy wasn't going to play for the first month. Five and five wouldn't have seemed so crazy, or 3-3 wouldn't have seemed so crazy.
Three is very much in play. I think we'd all take
that. Out right now.
I think people would take 3-3 right now. I think people would not be disappointed at all.
I'm worried about 2-4.
Yeah.
I'm genuinely worried about that. This is not going to be.
Absolutely.
I don't know what to expect in this game on Saturday. And honestly, I don't feel like I predicted the Chiefs to lose a football game in 2 years.
They're playing college football?
And it's not. Sorry. Yeah. Sunday.
Sorry.
I haven't figured out. I don't think I predicted the Chiefs. At no point last year did I predict them to lose a football game. And I was right. 17 of 20 times. They lost two regular season games. I don't know if we made a prediction for the final game. And they lost the Super Bowl, a game I predicted them to win. This might be the first time in what feels like over a year that when we get to Friday and I'm having to predict a winner, there's a pretty good chance I'm going to pick Baltimore. Because I haven't seen Kansas City show enough to make me think that's a team they're beating on Sunday. Not that they can't beat, but that they will beat on
Friday. Friday, we'll give our official predictions. We'll see if Cody changes by the time we get to Friday.
I might. Who knows? I'm not committed on a Tuesday.
Nor should you be. All right, let's get to the random question.
Random question.
Random question today brought to you by Kansas City Urology Care at KCUC. Remember, you see the best in KC. Visit kcurology.com today. For you, Gold. For you, Drew. Text line 913-586-7965. Of course, you can hit us up on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook. Love to live stream the show. Have you join us over there as well on a rainy Tuesday. Question I have today is about home design or apartment design.
What?
Doesn't really matter which.
Home design.
I was in a conversation with someone about, I want to know the things people put in their homes or their apartments that you don't like. Design either as in this is the way they set up their place, or a thing they did. I'll give you my example so you have a chance to think about it. I think it should be against the law to put a TV above a fireplace. I think it looks stupid. It's too high to watch comfortably, and I don't think anyone should do it. I think we should eliminate TVs above the fireplace. It's bad design. It is straight up not. It's who wants to watch TV like this? We spent our entire lives not wanting to sit front row of a movie theater. And now we sit in people's living rooms to watch a football game. I got to sit like this 17 feet above the fireplace.
Someone has it too high. It doesn't have to be that way at all. You can have the TV above the fireplace and you don't have to have your neck like that.
I think it's
like
always too high. I think we should get rid of it. I don't think TV should go above the fireplace. From the 913, carpet in the bathroom immediately. Well, litter box in the bathroom immediately.
Yes,
they don't
to both of those.
Litter box in the bathroom. You got to put that in an unused room for others. If it's in a bathroom, it's got to be like in a bathroom that isn't like shared by the guests. You put it in the bathroom that's like attached to your bedroom. Well, you know, whatever. Do your thing, I guess. Someone said hot tub inside the house. That's not a thing, I don't think.
Who's putting hot tubs inside the house?
Just put Kramer from Seinfeld. That's about it.
Sex swing in the living room, Cody. And someone says you shouldn't have that.
That's an interesting one.
Someone says their 65-inch TV sits on their fireplace mantle. It's perfect. Yeah, I just think the person has theirs too high. There's a different level of... there's plenty of houses I've been to
fireplace?
Where the fireplace has a TV above it and you're not cranking your neck up.
I don't think I've seen a single one that I think is appropriate in height.
Someone says their TV is mounted above the fireplace. They have a TV mount that pulls down to the TV's almost chest high. It's perfect height.
Okay, but here's the point. It's not the perfect height. You had to put in the frame that allows you to lower it to the correct height. That person's actually strengthening my point, not hurting it.
No, but they're saying you're saying you can't watch a TV with your TV mounted above a fireplace.
This guy also says he doesn't like it mounted above his fireplace. He's bought a mount specifically so he can put the TV at the height he would prefer.
Right. No, but he adjusts it.
Yeah, but
people do it because they like the aesthetics of it.
I don't think it is good for television watching.
Aesthetic, not for viewing.
Well, but the TV is to watch.
No, but they're saying people like the look in their living room.
No, they prefer yes, I understand that part. I'm saying I don't like it. What don't you like in people's house? You hate certain tables? I don't care what it is. I'm looking for home design.
I don't overanalyze people's houses.
Someone says live, laugh, love signs. Those are also terrible.
Those, yes.
You got any of those in your house?
No. No.
Some people not like six different decks with somebody's answer.
Uh-huh.
Poor random question, Cody. All right, well.
Someone says fireplace above the TV. Problem solved.
I don't think that's a thing.
That'd be an exotic look to a house.
Look, I don't have a problem with it, but some people don't like, like you have a lot of jerseys or sports memorabilia. Some people might not like that. I don't really have a problem with it. It's fine with me.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, now you're making it sound like I've got nothing but walls covered with Chief stuff. That's not true. I have one jersey hanging up and a shelf with some Chiefs memorabilia.
As soon as Gold moved in, he painted his room.
If anything, I've been criticized that I don't have enough on my walls in my apartment. People have said my apartment looks too bland.
You said you don't want to hang too much up because it's an apartment.
Yeah. It's a pain in the ass.
Maybe that's your answer.
I'm the same.
Maybe you're anti-curtain.
Someone says filthy houses. Yeah, that's not a design thing. My thing is dirty apartments and stuff just drive me crazy.
I
define
do think
dirty. You accept a certain amount of kid toys or whatever.
Clutter. Well, if you have kids, okay, and there's toys, we understand. There's an understanding that you're going to have. But
clutter
in general, clutter, like just the apartment just look like the dishes in the sink kind of thing. No, clean your stuff up, please.
There is a level of, I've tried to get my, I don't know if my brother and sister have either. I've tried to convince my parents to paint the house something other than just have white. Paint.
Add
some color
Drew
to the
wants
house.
A little color
a
on the walls.
Yeah,
that's his pickiness.
Add some color to it.
But in your apartment, you can't paint your walls in your apartment. It is whatever.
No, I'm talking about my parents' house. When I go, there's been moments where it's like, you guys could paint the bathroom something other than just the same color as the red. Like it could be a little bit different. Add some texture to the house.
Somebody says they don't like couches that look good but aren't comfortable.
Oh yeah,
that's a tough spot.
Yeah,
because. Like, generally speaking, I feel like the nicer-looking leather couches fall in that range a lot. They look really... I like the way the nicer-looking leather couches look. Awful to sit on. Like, I like... Like, appealing to... Like, ooh, that's a nice-looking couch.
It looks nice.
They're not very comfortable.
Yeah.
I agree.
Someone says, had a family friend who had their TV on the ground. It was neutral, naked, lifeless decision.
Someone says they want to do the dishes, but their garbage disposal in their apartment hasn't worked for a week. I get that maintenance request in. Hopefully that should be a fix within 2 days, man.
You got to get the, get like the piece of like wire mesh to catch the food and wash them. You got to make do sometimes,
It shouldn't take a week for them to get there.
You got a dishwasher in yours?
Uh-huh. But it shouldn't take them a week in their person for their garbage disposal to be fixed.
That is kind of a long request to go with it. Drew's is white walls. You say you don't.
I don't. I mean,
it's not even. It doesn't
clean clutter.
It doesn't bother me to the point of like being irritated. I guess I don't know if it fits this.
So that was his Cody's house shaming.
Not house shaming. I don't care. I said apartment or house.
No, he's. But they're just saying. Yeah.
I also don't like the live, laugh, love signs. I don't want those anywhere in my decor.
Wait, what? Why don't?
Wait, hold on. Wait, did you miss earlier when he said it? You have one of those?
No.
Oh, I thought he was about to say he had a couple of those hanging up.
I don't. But I.
Not a 60-year-old white woman. I don't need those in my house.
I mean,
not interested.
Yeah, I don't know, man. What about?
Kind of look like an 80s female musician. I don't know.
He was not talking about a house. He was talking about me, as a matter of fact. If you missed that yesterday. If anybody listened to the show and missed that somehow yesterday, Cody was talking about me.
Little breaking news in Major League Baseball. Yeah. Jeff Passan reporting. We can talk more about it after the break. Major League Baseball will implement a challenge system for balls and strikes for the 2026 Major League Baseball season.
Beautiful.
After the league's competition committee voted to usher in the era of robot umpiring, he says teams will receive two challenges to dispute calls by the home plate umpire. Maybe more after the break.
Yeah, I love it. We knew this was going to happen. They tested it during spring training. This was always going to happen once spring training went well. Very excited about this. Yeah, after Nate Taylor joins us, we'll talk a little bit more about that change. Up next, Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider, does stop by. We will chat with him about the game in New York over the weekend and where are we at with potential personnel changes? That's next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.